when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family, thank you, thank you, thank you for holding on. And me and Sister Monica are back, and I'm going to read a little bit about Napoleon. I never knew Napoleon was at war with a banker, and I'm going to make a salient point. And I remember CW talking about this about 2 years ago. Listen, war is not possible without a central bank, a fiat money system. That is the key point we all need to take away. Once again, you cannot have war without a fiat banking system, according to them. The bankers even themselves admitted in their war against Napoleon. The bankers and the government, another salient point is the Federal Reserve System, we cussed them, all of these bankers, these Jew bankers, but guess who they're in partnership with? They're in partners with the government, our Congress of the United States. The Congress and the senators, they know everything I've told you. They know that in spades. But if they want to keep that system so they can pay off, dole out their debt, their supporters, like the blacks that are on welfare, their Jewish industrialists, without the fiat money system, they cannot continue paying off their endless wars. They can't pay off their little welfare system, their corporate welfare, the black welfare, etc. They have to keep that in place. And see, here's the thing. It makes, they stay distance. The bankers, the Congress, the politicians, they say, oh, we can't help it. The Federal Reserve is independent. And it is independent. It's totally independent, the president and the Congress. But it's a partnership. They can use it as their cash cow, they being the Congress and the senators. And yet they never get blamed for this thing called inflation. And this guy named John Maynard Keynes, going back to memory, said years ago, he was quoting one of the Rothschilds, give me the power to coin and issue money, and I care not who makes the rules. Well, and he also said, John Maynard Keynes, he said, and it's so true, through the process of inflation, I can steal everything that people have, and not one person in 10,000 will know the causes from inflation. But that's exactly where inflation comes from this system. But once again, we could not have had the First World War. We could not have the Second World War without fiat money. And that's why they fight so desperately to save that system. And I'm getting too long, so I'm going to read this paragraph about Napoleon, and I'll get back with you. Keep in mind, we'll go over to Sister Monica, but keep in mind, to preface before I read this paragraph, we're talking about the kings of Europe were fighting against Napoleon because they had their precious little partnership with the bankers. And see, and the bankers, the Jew bankers, God knows we can't mention a Jew, they had this great little partnership going. They did not want it destroyed by this upstart Napoleon. Here's what talked about Napoleon. It says, it must not be concluded from this that Napoleon was a paragon of virtue or a champion of honest money. His objections to the bankers was that their money power was able to threaten the sovereignty of his own political power. He allowed them a free hand while they served the purpose of the state. To repeat that. Then, when the need for military financing subsided, he would condemn them for making unholy profits and simply take it from them in the name of the people. If the bankers protested, they were sent to prison. And so the battle lines were drawn. Napoleon had to be destroyed at all costs. To make this possible, the Bank of England created vast amounts of money to lend to the government so it would finance an overpowering army. A steady stream of gold flowed out of the country to finance the armies of Russia, Prussia, Austria. All the armies of the world run by the bankers were cut loose against Napoleon to try to destroy him, to keep him from getting away for the Jew bankers. But listen, that's as much as I'm going to cover right now. Me and CW, or mainly CW, we'll be covering this in depth probably in a couple of 3 weeks if I can get him to come on. But anyway, that's it. That's the salient point. All this money goes, if right now, if you go to the grocery store, and I did the other day, I had to go by myself. Brenda said she's been messed up. And, I mean, I spent like right at $300. And, or was it over $300? Right at $300, and I mean, you get nothing. I can take it out in one little basket, but we spend more on groceries now. Years ago, when we were real new, and the girls, my girls are 54. I've got to shut this up. I got to go quick. I got to get rid of this quickly. My girls were 54 and 56, respectively. When they were 4 and 6, we could go to the grocery store for $20. For 23, 24, you fill the truck up with gas for a week, go to the grocery store, and that lasts a week of groceries. You can't, you know what? You can't even go eat a damn hamburger for that now. Once again, the salient point is you cannot have war without a central bank. You won't have inflation without a central bank. And here's again, one more thing. Central banks, etc., the Federal Reserve, they are the cause. One of the things when they put this Federal Reserve in, central banks, the reason the Congress said, it's going to stop booms and bust cycle. We're going to have a nice, steady, economy. Well, when they put that Federal Reserve system in 1913, the greatest depression the world's ever seen, what was 13 years later, whatever it was, 1929, we had the greatest stock market crash in history, and it was because of the expansion and contraction of money created by these Jew bankers. And guess who made money? The Jews, they don't care. The central bankers, they don't care if it's a boom or a bust. They make money when the market goes up. They make money when the market goes down. They make money inflation and deflation. But their biggest profit of all, their greatest profit-making machine in the world is war. War. Sister Monica.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I think the important point to understand is once again, they do things by deception and language that can fool you. So when an ordinary person, well, we're all, you know, quite ordinary, but if we haven't kind of cottoned on to all of this, all these deceptions, the word, the expression Federal Reserve, it sounds like it's, you know, a federal, it's government, it's kind of like that means we the people, perhaps, and then yes. Reserve. Well, it's a private banking system. It's yes, a private it bank. It's nothing to do with we the people. So that would be a key point to keep in mind about all of this money system. And then I wanted to just say about Napoleon, he's a little bit further back in history, so he's not talked about as much as, you know, the more recent characters of the 20th century, like Adolf Hitler. But we have been deceived about Napoleon as well, and the Napoleonic Wars, and there's just so much disinformation and misinformation about Napoleon as well. And I do remember an incident, I was mentioning this to you in the top of the hour there, the break, but Alfred, when he was in jail, you know, the correspondences are lively with many, many people. And he had said something that indicated that he was just still under the spell about Napoleon. And then the sister of Robert Folliot, who was in correspondence with him, corrected him on that. And then Alfred told me about that in a letter. She just, you know, gently chided him and say, no, about Napoleon, you know, we've been deceived about him too. And so my brother, bless his soul, he said, well, coming from you, this was the sister of Robert Folliot, who has been working very, very closely with her brother, Robert Folliot, for decades. And he is he is no longer with us now. He died a few years ago, but he was really probably one of the most important scholars on the Holocaust lies and you know, did meticulous investigation on many fronts. So anyway, she did indicate that, yeah, this is another big deception about Napoleon. Now, I don't know very much about Napoleon. I should learn more. I should like to learn more about him. But it looks like you're on your way to doing that, Eddie. So that's good.
Yes, I do have. You know what? I'm going to talk about Napoleon. First, I got to tell you something about you. When you look up the Federal Reserve, it'll say, oh, when we come back, I've got to say, it's funny as hell. But it's not. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seats. We'll tie this up. We'll finish this up soon. Be right back, folks.
For Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're just saying, I wish you could listen to the stuff we say during the breaks. Anyway, hey, let's get back to... if you go into
I'm going to just add something to that, Eddie, sure. Before you come back, because I think it's hilarious. I told you to save your breath for when you're actually on air, because yeah, during those breaks, you're so inspired by whatever is in your head at that moment, and you just do the best little soliloquies. I think that's what it's called, you know, or monologue or whatever. You're just giving the best rants in the breaks, and then we always come back and say, oh, wow, you should have heard what we said in the break. Well, yeah, you got to save it for when you're actually on air.
Yes. I'm going to have to turn over new leaf and start doing that and taking your advice and my advice. Anyway, a little thing about if you go in and you look up and you try to find out about the Federal Reserve, if you go into the established media and you try to look up the textbooks and you try to go online, it's so laughable. They must think we're so stupid. It says, oh, it's the conspiracy theory out there that the Federal Reserve is a group of privately owned banks. You know, even though if you go into the yellow to the blue pages of the old Memphis phone book or any phone book you pick, you go into the business pages and the government pages, what you call the blue pages, Federal Reserve never end with the government. It's always listed in private businesses. Well, secondly, if they go in there and the establishment media be it books, textbooks, be it this internet, it'll say the private. There's a conspiracy out there that the Federal Reserve System is owned by private bankers. That's a conspiracy, and it's not. It's not owned by the federal government. Well, if it's not owned by the federal government or the private banker, who the hell owns the damn thing? Who are those people going to those
the
federal
aliens.
Reserve banks?
Yeah. It's the aliens from
Who's
outer space.
Them? Where do they get their check? And another interesting tidbit about, so this is a lie, and this is the incredible lies that we've been taught all of our life. Another interesting tidbit about Napoleon. During the Battle of Waterloo, when Napoleon was faced against Wellington from England, well, everybody knows Napoleon lost at the Battle of Waterloo. Well, here's the interesting part, not that he lost. The interesting part is that this Jew, the King Jew of all Jews, Amschal Rothschild, he had his sons and had the Bank of Germany, the Bank of France, the Bank of England, the Bank of Poland, et cetera, et cetera. They owned that almost the entire wealth of the world. It's been said up to 90%. Well, Amschal Rothschild, the head honcho, was standing there on the patio, the steps of the Bank of England. Well, his intelligence network was a much better intelligence network than either the British or the French had. So he found out before the British government did, or any British citizens, and I don't know if it was Britain in those days, maybe they called it England, before any English citizens knew, he found out that Napoleon lost and England won. So what he did, the sly dog he was, he went and started selling in mass all his stock in the Bank of England. So the people watching him knew he was this guru, that he was the master of banking, the master of, so they thought, oh my God, Amschal Rothschild is selling his stock. Damn, we lost. Napoleon won. The bank, he's going to invade England. Our stock's worth us. So they went in. It was a bloodbath. People went in and just started to say, sold their stock in mass. The stock price dropped. Just as an example, went from, you know, $500 a share to 50 cents a share. Well, guess what Amschal did? After the bloodbath was over, he went in and he bought up all the stock. And guess what? That's what he did. He literally bought the entire Bank of England. And later on, when people ask him, when is the best time to invest, to buy stock? He said, when there's blood in the streets. And that's the name of the game, folks. That's how it operates. And that's what you are. You know what? And you little airhead Army Rangers and airhead Marines and airhead infantrymen, you get ready to go over these endless wars, and I have little younger friends. Oh, I was so patriotic. I went to Iraq, and I went to Libya. I went here, went there. You're fighting for the Jew bankers. And these, me and my sister Monica talked before, World War One, World War Two, World War A, World War B, were all brother wars. And it's these damn Jews. It's the same thing going on right now. Sister Monica, you know, right now, there's the United States, CIA, the British MI6, the Israeli Mossad, and the Turkish intelligence have put together this war. What it is, it's a proxy war. They've gone in, they've taken over Libya. Now, they've been against the United States and Israel have been stealing Libya's oil forever. Now they've gone there. It's a proxy war against Russia. And if you look at it, Rand sent me a photograph not long ago, a photo of this giant snake around the globe. It was the Star of David on his head. And these damn Jews have conquered the whole world. And what they've got, I'm not kidding you, Sister Monica, I know, they're conquering the whole damn world. They've got the whole Western world. And now they're trying to finish off Russia. And I don't see how Russia's going to survive right now. You know what? Not in the hell, let alone Russia, we've been conquered. Without an act of God Almighty, we're toast, Sister Monica. And I'm sorry I went that long. Go ahead, Sister Monica, if you will, please.
I don't know. How do I follow that? So, not all. No, we. I don't like to get blackpilled, and I don't know if you know that expression, Eddie.
I can never keep track.
What's that?
I can never keep track. The red pill, the black pill. There's another pill too. In fact,
white.
Oh.
blue pill. Oh. Blue, you know, I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Matrix, the original one.
I did, but I couldn't understand it. It was above my head. I really couldn't. I hear you either understand it or you don't. I didn't know what the hell was going on there. I said,
okay, let me just explain it in a very, very condensed nutshell of a form. I figure it was a science fictionalized version of what is going on Earth, in reality, and that is that there are two realities. There are two realities. There is the reality that most people believe, the illusions of what they have taught us all our lives, and all the lies, and they believe all the deceptions, and I believed them until I was, you know, well into my middle years. So, you know, maybe just 14 years ago or so, I started waking up. And then the main character in the story, he's thinking, oh, something's wrong. Then he is offered a blue pill or a red pill by this guru fellow. And the blue pill, you go back to the world of illusion, but you'll forget all of this happened and you'll just be happy and just go about your daily life and not realize anything is wrong. Take the red pill and I will take you down a path of, you know, finding out everything. You will learn the truth of everything. So he chooses the red pill, and then it's really quite wild. And, you know, he basically sees everything, what's going on. And then get this, Eddie, like this movie was made in, I believe, 1999. And I didn't see it until much, much later, probably 2011 or 12. Or 13 even, and at that time I was starting to, you know, understand, at the very least I understood the 9/11 deception, and that the official story was all false. But I said to my friend after we finished watching the movie, I said, oh my goodness, they are so smearing it in our faces, they are laughing at us. You know why? Because in the movie, the real world, like this, the reality world, you know what it was called? Zion.
You're kidding.
No. So anyway, wow. The red pill, that expression came from there, you're red pilled. Red pilled means you've woken up to the reality of what's going on. You know, and if you're blue pilled, it means you're still asleep. And now black pill, it basically means you're just so, yeah, you are a wide awake, but you're so down and you just think there's no hope, there's no future.
Wow.
And that's actually what the Jews, where they would like to have us, they would like to have those of us who have woken up to be all black pilled and feel that there's no hope, no future. That is one of their tactics, is to make us be hopeless. And, you know, there's a lot of young people. And I just had a discussion with someone yesterday that showed an article of young women, teenage young women committing suicide in droves, like more than, like way, way, way higher suicide rate than ever, you know, than is normal or before or whatever. There shouldn't be any, so normal, what's that? But you know what I'm saying? And just, you know, young, yes, people are very, very down right now. And of course there's all kinds of reasons for that, you know, and the lockdowns during the scam of COVID cost, that sure didn't help the mental health of young people especially. And, you know, there's like, we're in such a war against us, and this no hope, no future thing. I'm going to tell you the story again about that award-winning film, a Canadian film. This was a number of years ago. It won the best Canadian film of the year. It was called The Fireflies Are Gone. I used to go to the film club movies in Jasper once a month through the winter. They'd come from the Toronto, what's it called, TIFF or something, Toronto International Film Festival. They'd get these movies into the Jasper Theater, and I always thought they were great because they were non-Hollywood movies, and so they were different. But then over time, they started to become very much agenda-oriented. Maybe it was just me waking up. Maybe they were all along, but I didn't see it until I started waking up. But this film, The Fireflies Are Gone, it was about a young woman who was just graduating out of high school. She had everything going for her. She was beautiful. She was athletic. She was smart. She was popular. She just had everything going for her. But in the movie, she just was so listless and was, you know, kind of apathetic, didn't know what to do with her life. And then she wasn't going to do anything with her life. Like, she was graduating out of school and, you know, friends and relatives were wondering, why isn't she getting going, doing something? She has everything going for her, but she was just without hope. She just felt she had no future. And that's
so sad.
And it won an award. And so that's the film they want. That's the take home message, Eddie. That's what they want us to think. That was blackpilling us.
Wow. You know what? You explained that movie better than anyone ever has. I totally understand it. Be right back, folks.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours only to have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. How? Well, its unique formula of ingredients helps support your body's response to inflammation. Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free. And for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. So give it a try. Right now, their three-week quick start is just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See how in a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. When you feel better, life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor.
U.S. Marines are starting a partial transfer from Okinawa, Japan to Guam.
The partial transfer of U.S. Marines from Okinawa in Japan to Guam is now underway. 12 years after Japan and the U.S. agreed to reduce American troop presence on the southern Japanese island. Under the plan, some 9,000 Marines will be transferred off Okinawa in phases, including some 4,000 that are going to Guam. Okinawa, which was under U.S. post-war occupation until 1970, is home to a majority of more than 50,000 American troops based in Japan under a bilateral security pact. I'm Mimi Montgomery.
Human remains discovered 3 months ago in a pickup truck in the Mississippi River have been identified as an Illinois man who was reported missing in 2019. Police in East Moline, Illinois, say they're treating the case as a homicide. The remains were identified as Daniel Clay's. News and analysis at townhall.com. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says it's important that all interested parties work together to support a Syrian-led transition.
Where the United Nations plays a critical role, particularly when it comes to the provision of assistance, to the protection of minorities, to all the work that needs to happen going forward. So I look forward to this opportunity to compare notes with the envoy and to, again, think through how we can support the Syrian people in this time of both opportunity, but also a real challenge.
Blinken says American officials have been in direct contact with a Syrian rebel group that spearheaded the overthrow of President Bashar Assad's government. Elon Musk says the Securities and Exchange Commission wants him to pay a penalty or face charges involving what he disclosed about his purchases of Twitter stock before he bought the social media platform in 2022. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Some boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go back to Sister Monica, but before I go back to her, one of the reasons Sister Monica, well, I mean, you're talking about serendipity. She gave that commentary on the fireflies are gone, stuff like that, with this young girl. That, how she's depressed and thinks she's like the only one. There's no hope. That gives me another reason why I can't quit. I have to spread this message more. So has Sister Monica.
Yeah, help me, I'm sister, gonna. Help me, I gotta Monica. Take. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so I gotta take a little of my own advice because there in the break we were going on the discussion here. But you know what? That is part of the PSYOP, is to get us all thinking there's no hope, no future, and especially to the young people, because what that does is it that alone, there are many other factors, of course, too, but that on its own reduces our fertility rate. The young people then, you know, if they are down about what future do they have, they won't have children. You know, so that's a big deal. That's huge. Cause if, I mean, that's probably the biggest, thing towards collective suicide is if we don't reproduce, if young people don't have babies. And then amongst us, the older people who are beyond, you know, childbearing years, it paralyzes us too. Like if we are just down and out and feeling hopeless and stuff, well, how motivated do you feel to really do things and get up on your feet and get fit, get yourself, you know, going in the morning and getting fit? That's a really important one, folks. You know, because, yeah, times could be very rough in the future. And I'm not blackpilling anybody. I'm just saying we need to prepare ourselves for that. And one of the things is to get fit and not be moping around going, oh, it's useless anyway. We're going to lose this. Like, think of the general taking his troops to war. And if he was to say, well, I don't think we have much hope. What kind of a battle are his soldiers going to fight? I mean, I love that scene. What was that movie where that's a famous scene that's been, you know, played in clips all over, where I think it was Mel Gibson was the producer and the actor who gave that wonderful pep talk to his troops there, that, you know, even though they were outgunned and they, you know, probably outnumbered and whatnot, just gave this fantastic pep talk, like, we are fighting for our freedom, and we are, you know, are you gonna just die on your bed? Are you gonna die fighting? Are you gonna die free, man, or whatever? I mean, I can't remember all the things he said, but it was wonderfully inspiring. And then they go and fight, and they fought a good fight, right? I don't remember the outcome that's of the movie, but
that's where I get the name. That's where I get your nickname. If the movie was Braveheart.
Oh,
that's why I nicknamed you Braveheart. I nicknamed you Braveheart because you fit that.
Oh, Eddie,
Sister
I'm
Braveheart.
Just having this very nice moment right now. I think my cheeks are scarlet color now because I'm kind of just, anyway, thanks. I better hand it over to you. That's wonderful.
Well, that's true. What a coincidence that you talk about that movie, Mel Gibson, and that's right. It was the movie that was one of my favorite movies. I need to watch it again, was Braveheart. And that's, I've used one of his quotes on Honor, which, I'm a very poor person financial-wise, but I'm very rich in other ways. And I tell people I have honor and courage. And I'll toot my own horn. I've been complimented by more than one person. My best friend in the world, for instance, CW, told me he wished he had my guts. Simon Rhodes told me, if everybody had my guts, we wouldn't be in the situation we are in. And I'm just tooting my own horn. The only thing I have, though, people, I have my guts, my courage, and I have honor. this, I cannot sacrifice that or I'll have nothing because I'm poor as a church mouse. But getting back to Braveheart, his son comes to him and said, what's all this talk about honor? What is honor? What is that mean? What does it mean? And he said, told his son, Mel Gibson, it was Braveheart. He said, son, honor, I guess the best way to explain it is a gift. Honor is a gift that a man gives himself. So I'm not going to let anybody take that gift away. And Braveheart was about as brave as you could get, and that's why. And he fought against all odds. You came out of the prison in Germany fighting your ass off. You're still fighting. Your brother Alfred doing the same way. So that's it. Way. And you got me going to get in line with that movie, movie you saw about the young girl with the fireflies are gone, something like that. What happened to the fireflies? As we have to get to people like that and build them up and tell them the truth. You're not alone. There are other people like you. We can fight. You know, one man can make a difference. There's an old saying from the old dead white guys, the Patriots here in the United States. One of them said, it does not take a majority. And that's biblical. God's never worked through a majority. God never uses strength. God uses the simple to confound the wise. He uses the weak to defeat the strong, because what glory is in there to use strength to defeat a weakling? But there's glory in taking a weakling, defeating the strong.
So anyway, here's another thing I want to say, and addressing young people about having children. And, you know, to have a large family now, a lot of people are saying, oh, I can't afford it. Plus it's really rough times. And wow, they're coming into a world that's quite tumultuous and all that. Yeah, these things may be true, that there is turmoil. It's, you know, we are living in interesting times, but you know, to have a big family now, that is the best actually. I mean, if you are at that age where you can, and if you're in, you know, get married, have babies and have children, well, then those children will grow up to be able to fight this war. I mean, we are in a war, but if you don't have children just for the reason that we are in a war, then I guess we've already lost, right? Because they want us gone. And if we don't actually reproduce ourselves by having babies, if we are still in the age group that can have babies, well then I guess we've lost. So that is not a good reason to not have children just because we are in a war, you know. So and so that's for both the people who are awake and the people who are not awake. It's a message that we should be having children, because those who are awake, they might have different reasons for not having children than those who are asleep. Those who are asleep, they get it from that messaging that we just talked about, the no hope, no future messaging that comes at us, and the climate change the lie. Yeah. That's the big one that they target. I mean, the youth is always targeted, Eddie, over the years, the youth has always been targeted with some major big scare. When I was in my teen years, it was the nuclear bomb threat and a nuclear annihilation. And I got all involved in that fight and battle. And since then, I've come to understand that there's a lot of lies about that whole thing anyway. But we won't talk about that right now. But these days, it's the climate change. And, you know, these Fridays for Future, FFF, where all the children were skipping school on Fridays to go protest against the adults for being so bad as to put all the carbon into the air, and we have to reduce our carbon footprint. And guess what? Carbon is the stuff of life. So when they say reduce our carbon footprint, they are literally saying reduce you. You are life. And carbon is the stuff of life. So when we want to reduce the carbon footprint, that is reducing life itself. It is the biggest deception of all, I would say.
Yes, it is.
It's just huge, because and all these young people, you know, there are young people in some countries, like I've heard of it, there's a group in England and there's a group in some other countries, young people who will sign a pledge to not have babies so that they will save the planet. Honestly, this is That's collective suicide. This is why they go after the children, teaching them these things. So I don't know if there's some young listeners listening to this program, but if you, well, I hope there are. And this would be my message, like, you know, have a family. Maybe you have to pass this message on to your, if you're older than that, pass it on to younger people, pass on this message. Like this is a pretty important thing, is for young people to have families.
I could not imagine not having my family. I could not imagine. And you know what? If they're not going to have children and they're going to get rid of the human race, why the hell? Who gives a damn if we have a planet anyway? You know, and I've often said, if the fastest way to exterminate these other races is to exterminate the white race, because without the white race, these blacks, these other,
and that's an important point. I'm glad you brought in the race thing, because it's only the white race that we hold back on having children, because we're the ones that have this empathy gene that we think, we have to take care of the planet, and so we better not have children. The other races don't think that way.
No, they don't. Be right back after this brief message, y'all.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio, it's our family. I cannot believe this. I'll say this all the time. It goes so fast. I started off with all this material. I'm thinking, how am I going to get this out there in an organized manner? Because I had so much more to cover, and it seems to fall into place. At least I hope it fell into place as well as I think it did. But anyway, just like a couple of points tied together before we go back to Sister Monica. We talked about all that rigmarole. We talked about the creature from Jekyll Island, the financial system, Federal Reserve, International Bank of Settlements. By the way, the International Bank of Settlements, that is the granddaddy of all the central banks. But anyway, we'll cover that in about 2 weeks, hopefully three. But here's the nutshell on that. What's going on in the Middle East right now against what were they to? Not Libya, not Libya. The country they're fighting right now. I'll just call it Country B over there.
Are you talking about Syria?
Syria,
right now?
That's right, Syria. You got United States CIA, Jew, the British MI6, Jew, the Israeli Mossad, Jew, and get this, the Turkish intelligence network, By the way, Ukraine's in on it too. But the Turkish, I looked up, well, why would the Turks, you know, why would they be joining in? Because they went against Israel recently with their war and all kinds, you know, with what happened in Gaza. But you look in there, and, you know, Israel, Turkey, there's a predominantly Muslim country, and I was surprised. There's Sunnis, and Sunnis, this one sect of the Sunnis are the most radical, most meanest of all. And I've got to wrap this up really, really quick. Back years, going back to Clinton and Bush, Bill Clinton even admits that Al-Qaeda and Nusra and ISIS and ISRA, he actually admitted what we all knew. They were all creations of the MI6, Jew, United States CIA, Jew. The point I'm getting at, it looks like to me, and I'm not trying to blackpill people, without God Almighty and while us standing up and saying no more wars, I know during Vietnam, we would say, what, they gave a war and nobody came. We have to quit participating in these wars. And the way they do it through the money system. Although I'm thinking with the way they've captured, there's more than one form of money. There's oil, there's coal. I mean, good gosh, how much oil they got in the Middle East. So these deep state, dark states, what you want to call them, the CIA and the NSA is more secret than the CIA. They can generate, I'm sure, their own currency network through commodities. But anyway, we have to put it into that. We have to do away with this deep state, Sister Monica. We got to get them, and we have to do what it takes, because it's either us or them, and we can't worry about, oh, we got to do everything peaceful. We can't, oh, God forbid, if we do anything, it's not peaceable. Anyway, I hope I made a little bit of sense there. Just seem like I'm always trying to get a gallon of fluid into a quart jar with cover so much material. But anyway, go ahead, Sister Monica. I hope I didn't take up too much of this last segment.
No, that's good. Do you want me to just new topic, Canadian stuff going on, or where did you want me to go?
Anywhere you want to go. I'm just damn glad you're here with me and with our family. Yeah.
Well, I'll just tell you an example of the latest in Canada, sort of ridiculous stuff, and then give my idea of what people should do in case there's some Canadian listeners who might be business owners. But this could be then cross-applied to other instances where, you know, one of the things that Alfred said many years ago is that the communists, they kept on rolling out more and more laws and rules and, you know, things that didn't make sense. Like, that's kind of one of the hallmarks, I guess, of communism. There's just more and more, and it's, of course, a Jewish thing, right? More and more rules. So there's just mass confusion of what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, this and that. Well, the latest thing in Canada, they call it giving us a nice break, the consumer, you know, doing something nice for us in Christmas, but then for a couple of months afterwards, because, oh, there'll be, you know, there's always a lull in purchases. So business will suffer after Christmas because there's always a lull because everybody's going shopping just before Christmas, right? Well, so what have they done? They've given a 2-month GST holiday, and GST is the General Services Tax, something like that. Goods and Services Tax. I knew there was something wrong with what I was saying. Goods and Services Tax that's we've had for quite a few years here in Canada, so that at the till, you know, the sticker price is not the price. You got to pay on top of that this Goods and Services Tax. So now they're going to give a holiday of the GST on certain items, not across the board, certain items. And these, it's just willy-nilly. I guess there's lists and lists online somewhere. I haven't looked it up, but I've heard some reports from some businesses that they're going to have a nightmare figuring out what's supposed to be taxed or not. And this is supposed to happen at the till, that they, you know, okay, you either charge this tax or not. And some people are saying, oh, this is going to cost us thousands of dollars and work and labor to figure this all out. Well, here's my take on it. If I could just suggest to those business owners, and it might have no relevance to most of the listeners, but maybe there's other things that this would apply to when the government keeps coming down with more and more silly rules and nonsensical stuff. My advice on this specific instance would be just don't do this. If they're saying have a holiday from the GST, just don't charge any GST on any of your items in the store. Don't differentiate between the ones that they have on their list and not. And then, you know, February 14th, when it's all over, don't charge it. And then when the government comes to you know, collect, say, I'm not the tax man. I am not your tax man. You come and stand at the door, collect the taxes as the customer leaves the store. If you want to collect that taxes, I am not the tax man. That would be the way to resolve this, don't you think? So again, excellent. Most of the listeners, this might not apply to them at all, because I think most of the listeners might be in the United States. However, this is kind of the trend, is more and more rules, more and more laws, more and more mandates, more and more of all these silly things, most of which don't make sense. Just don't do it. Don't obey. Bingo. That is our way to resist. And there, you know, you can argue your way out of it when they come, like the example I just gave. You say, I'm not your tax man. If you want to pay me to be your tax man, okay, pay. But I'm not your tax man. You come and collect the taxes. Go ahead. And you watch how fast they just go away and say, no, it's not worth it. Right?
That, you know what? I'm glad you said that, because we're always all about solutions. And I fall down sometimes and don't put forth solutions. But that is a great solution. Another one is, and we need to get rid of the Jews' money. We used to call it the king's money, but now I call it the king's money. The Jews' money. We have to get rid of the Jews' money, which is not really money at all. What it is, it's a system. It's an economic system to put us into bondage, just like they did back in the medieval days. We're feudal servants living on the prince's land or whatever. But I know some people, they got in trouble years ago, believe it or not, for doing like barter trade. There's a fellow up in the Middle Tennessee's name. I used to know his name. He was dealing in nothing but silver. But plumbers, electricians, carpenters, doctors, they had this little group together, and they traded their services each other. And
barter.
And they were, barter. And they were bypassing the Jews' money system, and that got them in trouble. And, you know, let's get back to this money thing. These banks, you know, Sister Monica, for instance, with this run on the bank, well, there's laws in every country, everywhere, not just the United States, but I'm sure in Canada and France and Germany, whatever. The banks are insulated. They cannot be sued by we the people. Even though if you put your money in the bank, it's gone, it's lost. You can't sue them because they're, for instance, I remember back when Bush was president,
there's no personal liability is what you're saying. No right. Personal liability.
Correct.
And we have to come back to that. Yeah,
Bush said that they're too big to fail. This gigantic bank system went down. He said, "Oh, we can't do anything to them. We got to bail them out because they're too big to fail." We've got to start. Go ahead.
I just have to give you an example of the language, because the language does tell us things. You know, we all talk about having a mortgage. If you buy a home, you might have a mortgage.
Yes.
Do you know what that actually means? If you, that's a French derivative, mortgage. It's a death grip. It's a death grip, literally.
I didn't know that.
Mortgage. More is death, and gage is grip. Mortgage. My and in God, Canada, you know, we're all bilingual. We speak French and English here.
I know. Well, that reminds me of the movie, going back to The Matrix, that movie, The Matrix, you said the name of that land when you got red pill, what was it, Zion? It was
Zion, the Zion, real place.
I have to remember that, Zion. And you talk about in your face. That is in our face if there ever was.
That's exactly what I thought at the end of that movie. I thought they are smearing it in our faces.
Yes.
Smearing it.
I'm writing that note down. I'm writing. But, I don't want to keep harping on the money, like CW. But I think one of the surest ways to end this slavery is to do away with the Jews' money, go back to an honest money system. Bitcoin might work, but I don't understand it that well, so I'd rather do gold and silver. Sister Monica, you've done a marvelous job. If you want to, hang on. We're going to bring in the bitter ender himself in just a few minutes, and he's going to start his class on the Confederate history and a few of the things he's been doing while he's been on the road lately. So you're more than welcome to hang over if you'd like to. I'd love to have you hang over if you want to.
I'll probably need to go, but I'll listen in if I can. Thank you.
Anytime. Folks, we're going over to pick up the bitter ender himself. Be right back. See you in a few minutes.